Being if they had to work under par. They had to work under par, you did.
No, I mean the kind of thing that I was educationally equipped to do was not present in that small town.
I see.
So I managed to bend myself to whatever.
Just needed.
Get something out of whatever
was
there to be done. Mm-hmm. So I sometimes worked for one thing, sometimes worked another. I organized unions and all the plants were that was affiliated with the plant where I worked in Richmond. And this would make money at least and made the going somewhat easier for me as well.
When did he first begin to know about socialistic principles? That you began to hear him talking about
it? Well, I think that would be a hard one to answer so far as he had not had an experiential structure that is so integrated.
Did you ever have any knowledge of socialist structure in those days?
Well, I never made a finish of it. The socialist structure, I always figured was that. I was always on the side of people. God, my people's humanitarians were further back than the history went, you know. And that is why that I felt like we had had all the, that I didn't want him to devote his life to just being a slave to the rest of the people. I had to. Even in all this task of trying to beat this depression, all this, I had browbeaten bankers and other people who were well-versed in manufacture and that, and the starting factories in the little town for people who start. I was never idle on these same principles that he would work on today. But I didn't put names to it.
Do you want any more of this? You want any more cream or
no,
honey, sweetener?
No, that's plenty. I didn't put names to the things I did. Call it whatever you
any
will.
Any particular doctor, huh?
No, where I saw that people were being exploited, that's where I was to try to see that that didn't happen.
Yeah. When he was in his little church with his young friends,
how many did he have in his little church?
What would be? Well, just about every young squirt that was growing up around town.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I suppose that there was even what might have called themselves a social elite.
Oh, really?
Which I didn't pay no heed to who was socially elite and who wasn't. He said they always tried to downgrade him and that sort of thing, but I was not aware of this. Because he was always got his way about whatever he wanted to do. And now this, he'd go down and he would, on his feast days, you know, he'd go.
Did you say fish days?
On his feast days.
Feast.
He'd yes. Take the whole daggone town down when I was in battle with the depression. And walking over to the grocery store, and all the years I lived there, I'd say, don't you ever credit anybody with anything. I don't run credit. But when they'd go there, and he'd go there and say, I want so-and-so, we got it, got it. Because he was my son, and I paid the bill. Thus it was with my husband's brother, who was a ne'er-do-well in that day. And even the gangsters caught on to that they could pin him down and bring him in and get carloads of lumber. And
you mean Jim?
Jim's brother.
Oh, I see.
They'd get him and put their hands on his neck and this. This here underworld.
You mean you paid his bills?
They forced him to come there and they load up with the lumber and charge it to me, the whole.
Well, if you didn't sign for it, how could they charge it to you?
Well, they didn't. Not that they ever was able to collect it very well, but they sure didn't.
Heaven's sakes.
And it always people you ask them, you know.
Did Jim ever display a temper at people with his, because he has such a righteous temper when he sees something going wrong. Was his righteousness showing even then when he'd see people going astray and know they were going to go haywire? Would he do anything to try to help them and stop them from going astray? How did he happen to start getting the tramps and things? I know you said he brought them home to dinner or something and made you pay the bill for that.
Yeah, I said, don't you know that this is not right?
You want to sit over in this green chair? Would you be more comfortable over there?
Oh, yeah. But they were out and out working. Maybe clear into the night, or you think of something. Thought I would be taken care of, and he'd get out to do it. I don't mean things like labor, you know, and things like that. He probably didn't know nothing about that. If he did, he kept it dark. But to, he could tell when people was troubled. That's what he had said, really, when he jumped out of the tub and took off.
Mm-hmm.
He said, something's wrong with Mrs. Anderson.
With Mrs. who?
With Mrs. Anderson.
Oh, somebody that he liked, huh?
She was an old lady. She had a few sons there in the town, and their wives, but she lived alone with somebody taking care of her some of the times. And he would always, she would tell me, even when she felt that she was desperate enough to take her own life, she just had to lay there and end it like that. You know, she was beyond the age of recovery, or she didn't recover. And so said, always when I feel it, I'm in desperate straits, would Jim come? And he would sit there cross-legged in the midst of a bed, and she would stride upon a bed, you know, and he would hold her hand and talk to her. She says, there's more for me than any medicine this world ever had to offer. So it was in these people that realized how great was this work and how much was coming out. And that's how it came to be. So my religion went down again. But then
he would just show up, huh?
Yeah. Just out of the blue. And this day when the visiting preacher, I particularly remember this, come to the town where he had read the old Burke's Flower Garden, I guess, that raised flowers for a living. That feed went on for years with this old woman and the boys of the village until him settling down on that. But he was a little shit over here. Changed his whole attitude toward life. He was a religionist too all his days. But well, my boy's religion was a little amiss when Jim got to work.
I don't have one. It's in San Francisco. But,
What do you mean when the this particular minister came to town? What did Jim do?
Well, he just went out and picked him some very dainty little things, little flowers, and set them up somehow with dandelions, which was much larger than that. And so he just appeared in service, half naked, with all his dog and animals behind him. There was tea and hash, you know, and he walks up in the pulpit and welcomes him out to the church and presents his bouquet. And there was tears and this, and the preacher liked to have himself cat fed. He got so dumbfounded mad. He said, I don't want to hear any more funny business either.
He was talking to people in the church?
Yes, he said.
He recognized the child's sincerity.
One little finger of this child, and there is no whole town. That's what he said. Boy, they threatened him and face him and flew right. That was told to me, you know, by the people present.
What do you mean he showed up half naked and with all of his dogs? Didn't he like to wear clothes?
Oh, no, he didn't wear clothes very often.
How old was he then?
If it was summer, he could be sure that he wouldn't.
What, did he just wear shorts, you mean? He would wear shorts.
Unless it, for some reason, they annoyed him, at which time he would just split them off and go home naked.
Around the neighborhood?
He'd walk right down that long street. One time he had diarrhea. He said, I have a medical diarrhea. That's what he told the woman. But I asked him why I had his pants off, and there was just no water, no.
And there was just what?
No creek around him close, you know. He'd already left the creek, so he was making his way home. And he had diarrhea stuck on his legs, stuff of that kind. He would tell that and laugh about it. And I frankly told her that I thought she could help him get that stuff off of him, where he was, you know, small then. But he paused past the time of day with her when she wanted to know why he was naked. And so she, I suppose, had to blaze around the neighborhood and had him in that tail, I don't know. I never trusted him. But instead of cleaning him up, why, she'd excuse him. But anyway, this minister sure taught him this and that day. He just never let up on him like that. He said, I had something in your midst of crackling gift from heaven and then titter. He said, there's more religion than one of these little things. one last year that he ever encountered in all his walks. He's not only this town, but other towns as well. He said, don't laugh when you see a miracle before your face.
That's what the minister said? You don't laugh when you see a miracle before your face?
Yeah, I said, he just
got it. Was he referring to Jim as a miracle, or did Jim do something?
Well, he just brought this flower, and he come half naked and with all of his animals in his rear. He started to the clear out of the town, you know, to the old swimming hole or somewhere down in there where he thought he had some business to take care of on foot with his animals. All he did was go out and let off a squawk and the animals would come from all over town. There they'd go. And so this whole retinue, you know, just right beside him while they walked up to the bullpen.
Did he have some kind of a call that he used to gather his animals when he came out?
He just go out and squall sometimes, just let off a screech and he wouldn't say anything. He'd pick them. They'd come over. If you start getting a licking, man, you could figure on being bowled over by everything.
You couldn't spank him, you mean?
No. Because it's the first squall, why everything reported to see what the world was wrong with James. The old neighbor across the way had a channel that nobody, everybody heard that dog.
She had a chow?
Yeah, a chow. You know, he was a watchdog. He was something else. And he never leave his premises except when Jim would go out and run off with a squawk.
Then he followed Jim, huh?
So Jim got ready to come back. He said, somebody was there talking about the dog. He said, well, have you got a dog, Clarence? Clarence says, I pay taxes on a dog. There's not any dog in this town that belongs anywhere but with Jim Jones.
For heaven's sakes. You mean you literally had all the dogs in town? My gosh, how large a city was Lynn? How many people did you have?
They'd go to their houses when they got through frolicking with Jim, you know, they'd go there and be fed and that sort of thing, you know, and not got to be the way the neighbors would talk about it, you know, or the people that
they pay taxes on the dog,
yeah,
and that was
so
it.
We treated him.
And we he's Jim's dog.
Him, but he belongs to Jim Jones, just like every other dog in the town.
How many people lived in Lynn at that time?
Oh, I don't know how large the blame thing was. Jim probably could tell you more about that than
I. Is it the size of Ukiah, or the size of Redwood Valley,
no,
or?
It wasn't anything like that.
Did they have many stores in the town, or was it just a little grocery store?
And it was. And finally joined by a department store. They latched that on. And there was a post office across from it. You know, it's hard for me to recall this blame thing. I'm such a one to just sweep it back and go on, you know.
Yeah,
but
I know.
I don't recall the things very well about what's. That's what Jim knows that he can overcome. But and the school was the not what you'd call a bad one. It was pretty good for the size place. And politics was right. I remember I was acting in politics for a day because the Republican Party was in the saddle and I was bailing out the other thing was going to be.
Did he ever get involved in politics as a child?
He had no reply.
He had what?
He had no interest in those things at the time.
Mm-hmm.
All that was the exploitation of the people by that was the thing that was concerning.
Hmm. Of course, politics is a great exploiter.
In all ways. Well, this faction of the parties There's no claim to virtue, I don't suppose.
Yeah.
A lot of times, but the party of the poor was always a Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And I never did, you know.
Were you Democrat then?
I was a Democrat in the way to go, yes. And that's the ability for the people, frankly. It seems very handy to be a Republican.
No, that's true.
And be the other way. Because they are primarily the exploiters. The people who have not are the Democrats.
Did he ever put out any little newspapers or things like
no,
that?
No, he never seemed to.
You have such a writing knack. I just wondered if he ever demonstrated any of that.
No, he didn't. And I wanted him to collaborate with me many times. He never could see fit to do that. He seemed to be in the mind of speaking. And Marcia and me went out to do that. One of them to write the story of his life, I guess. And I know I had a lot of notes, even as busy as I was on that. But I think that I had him for a while after I come here. And I think I finally done away with him, which is very useful if I had him now. But she was going to collaborate with me, you know, and we was going. And we'd do it by mail, really, although we were 7 miles apart. Why, I'd write when I got the opportunity, and she would.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in politics and humanitarian works of every kind, likeable, besides unions at all hours of night, besides the work that I did for money.
But his was mostly with people, huh?
Yeah. His was with people. There was an old woman that had was way out in the country, and he had a tricycle. It was just about the smallest size tricycle that you could get, you know. And he'd take these that and manage somehow to haul animals that throw them out on the road, you know, and on the ditches, little kittens and dogs, and all this, and the doctor of the town, the other people of the town. They'd come along, they'd find him, they'd load up his bicycle and these animals that he'd picked up and bring them home. And I remember I stopped one day and I said to one of the young doctors, I said, good heavens, how long do you think I'm going to support all this? He said, you have no choice.
You have no choice?
I said, I realize that, yes. But anyway, the doctor reached over and took a fat little puppy out and had a little thing that must have recently been, you know, jerked away from its mother. And he set it in her arms. And I was saying to Jim, you know, that I have this going, and that's not, I just cannot take on anymore. Mother, you should be ashamed. He realizes what you've said. Look at the sad look on his face.
The puppy he's talking about.
Yeah, I turned around and looked, and the doctor, I looked up, and his face was right against mine. He says, you won, James. The battle's won, James. I turned around, we just nose to nose, you know.
You mean you and the puppy, or you and the doctor?
Well, the puppy, I was the eye and the puppy.
Oh, you were eye and the puppy, and you.
And the doctor, he gets down and looks eye on me, you know, and he's peering around, and he turned around and says, yeah, this is over, James, you won. And then he hauled out a sack that he had in the back seat, and there was other animals in that sack.
That he had, that Jim had with him on this little tricycle out along the road, my God.
How he managed to do this, I don't know.
And then he was so tiny. If he had the smallest size tricycle, he must have been awfully young.
Well, it was just no tricycle. Tell her that I never could figure out how you could get these gun sacks rigged up. But I used to accuse the doctors. I'd say, I think
this is before he went to school then.
Yeah.
And he was out along the road doing all this?
Yes, he'd be this school. That's what it was.
How far out of town was it?
Oh, he'd go. God knows how far out of town. I don't know how far this old woman lived that had this chicken.
Would he always get home at night?
Oh, yes, he'd get home. So about home.
This woman who had the chicken, you mean he went out there to help the chicken?
He figured this old woman was abusing the chicken, and it was the poorest thing I ever saw to still live. So I brought home that night, and he suffered a horrible setback on that, because that night some varmint come up out of the woods and devoured the chicken.
Oh.
And the old woman come in, and she, it must have been a woman.
You mean a man came in out of the woods, somebody came and stole the chicken, or?
Oh, no,
An animal
yeah,
killed it.
A varmint. Because these varmints would come up there and join up with me, and they'd never go back to the woods, you know.
Not for heaven's sakes. What kind of varmints are you talking about?
Old possums, fox.
Not for heaven's
sakes.
Huh.
And, you know, the flooding and stuff would take place, the storm or whatever took place out in the woods, well, I could be sure to get them because they were pretty to my house right there, I guess.
For heaven's sakes.
They seemed to know.
Well, you were a little inclined in that direction yourself, so you really couldn't blame him. Well, you were just as bad as he was in one respect.
He got the whole meter from me, Dad, I suppose. But at the early age, I was not able to do the remarkable feats he did about recovering. Although I was, you know, just like him, a state informant struck me to stay at home or attend the parties, and they'd bring me up to 110, and I'd be just like him. I'd just go out in the woods and hang the rigs on the fence and walk in there, you know, if there'd be something a little fancy. And there was all kind of dangers around when I was down there. There's even big cats in the woods. And
did he ever bring home any animals like that, like the big cats? Did he ever?
Well, let me see. We've had so many.
Did he ever have bobcats or anything like that for pets?
Yes, he had everything. He didn't have any misses on that. Like the game warden one time. The game warden wanted me to quit everything else I was doing and wanted to take his job for some reason. He gave it up, you know. And he wanted me to do this because we had feuded for years yet, because he was always wanting to put my animals, as the law said, they should go in a cage, they should be liberated and all this sort of thing. And every time he'd come, we'd get an argument, my animals would spring on him. Lord, that the coon baby bit him to the bone.
The coon baby?
Yeah, the man you would have thought was just fighting me with a purple passion. Instead, well, every time he had a problem in the woodland, why he'd come out, you know, to talk to me about it. So when he got to the point where he had to give up the thing, he said, I just can't bear. I mean, he just tears running off his face. I just can't bear for anybody to do this. But you said, you're the only person I can think of that ever really should be doing it. He was really careful with them. But he found out that he couldn't break an animal's friendship with me and his desire to belong to me. He couldn't break this, you know. So over the years, there we was, a combatant over that. He put the coon baby in the cage, you know, and I just stand there and watch him eat. This time, I'm going to process you to the full extent of the law. I'd say, oh, well, I'll cross the bridge and get there, you know. I wouldn't be able to carry it away about it before you get out of sight, of course. The coon baby crying, I'd let him out of his cage. And I wasn't supposed to have the coon baby under the law. And he got away one time. and got lost at Coon Baby Dude, and he, and I was working, you know, just all kind of shifts at this time. So I knew a coon hunter, and I said, I'll tell you one thing you got to do for humanity, and that's one thing besides kill something. I want that coon dog, and I want to take him with me to track my coon dog, because I think maybe something went wrong with his sense of smell or something, and he can't get back to me anymore. He said, I borrowed that coon dog, and I kind of thought you had it. And I said, you might as well, because if you don't, I'm going to kill that coon dog, because I could have him right this night. And it was just, you know, it was a co-worker that I worked with, and I had ridden with this bunch of people for the job.
It was a, what you had worked with?
They was co-workers.
You know, oh, I see.
He was kind of a bashful fella, you know, and I sat there and I just might as well hit him because I've got to have a coon dog. I'll tell you frankly, I've got to have
it. Did you find your baby coon?
But somehow or other he managed out near or something happened that I couldn't get to the outskirts of wherever he was with the town dog, you know. And so I had a pet rabbit. And I went up and talked to this rabbit, and I said, now, you know the coon baby's gone, because you missed the coon baby, and I'm going to let you out of here, and we're going to hunt the coon baby. And by God, I was written up, I think, in every paper from there to the coast about that scrape, because I let my rabbit out, and he tracked the coon baby.
For God's sakes.
Yeah, he walked right up to the coon baby, and the coon baby ran his nose. Coon baby was as big as I can remember marshaling the whole damn coon baby in her hand. It was a giant. And the game wardens and nothing swore they'd never seen a coon as size as that. And she would hold him, you know how tall she is. She would hold him up here, and his tail would be.
Why, for heaven's sakes. How did he ever run away again? He didn't. How did you get him to start with? Did he come in from out of a storm or what?
Well, I did get coon baby. I had several, you know. He must have just come because that was usually the name I took. This game warden, when he'd come, you know, he said, they belong out there in the forest. I said, that's not the way they see it. They groaned out there when something went wrong, then they come to their friend. And so you can't take them back.
Did Jim ever play with the coon baby?
Oh, yes, yes. He was just like a kitten.
Oh, for heaven's sake, really?
No, Jim teasing, that was it. When Jim teasing, he goes, Lanny, you know, coon baby gets mad. Bobby. And so when he went to college, well, he went with me on a honeymoon, come back.
Coon baby went with them on a... Oh, my God.
No.
Poor Marcy.
Anna. She certainly wasn't oriented toward animals such as we was, but she was bored.
Where did they go for their honeymoon?
Good heavens, I don't know. They might have even been on their way down back to college on their honeymoon. I don't know which way they went on. But anyway, it was a scrape every stop they made, you know, they had the animal. Mrs. Somebody was all triggered up for the wedding, too. I had her fixed up. Mrs. Mouse, I believe, attended the wedding.
Mrs. Mouse?
Uh-huh.
Is that another animal that you had?
Yeah, it was Mrs. Mouse. She was the cleverest creature we'd ever
had. Did you put her in a cage to take her to the wedding, or what?
Yeah, I think it's all things for her.
And Coon Baby attended the wedding?
He attended the honeymoon. I don't know just where he was through the wedding.
Who besides Mrs. Mouse attended the wedding, pray tell?
I don't know whether Coolamunda went on the wedding either.
What is a Coolamunda?
Well, he's from Africa, and he was one of the really old men. Leg next door, you know, is that you start, but you like to drop dead. She opened her bread box and there he was, peering up at her because she didn't have anything in there for him to eat. They're strange animals, they don't look like that name. So then she began to holler and screech about
it. How do you spell that? C-O-O-L or K-O-O-L? Coolamanda?
I think it's K-O-O-L.
Hmm. And it's an African animal?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a dog or like a rat? Like a possum?
I'd say
like a cat?
They'd be kind of on the order of rodents.
A rodent?
Only they're as big as coon. But he's not out this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was not a beautiful animal. But anyway, he was with me in the first residence, I think.
He was.
Then
where did they get married? In a church, or? Did they get married in Lynn, in Richmond?
In Richmond, Indiana. They had a double wedding. Her sister was married at the same time.
Hmm.
But let's see, this old woman I was telling you about this chicken. Well, she come back and, oh God, she was armed with a knife and everything else, and she killed me if she was gonna have that chicken back. And I give her a chicken. I don't know. I can't seem to remember the detail of that, and I can't think of myself of giving her this chicken either. But anyway, that seems to be all I remember. That somehow this animal had killed this chicken that wouldn't have lived anyway. And I give this old hen this chicken. This is the way I remember it, although I don't think it could be right that way because I don't see myself ever turning over anything to that old hen, old woman. But either that or I made some kind of a deal with her to get rid of her. But the way I remember it is that Jim went and recovered his chicken.
And you mean the one that you gave her?
Yes, I seem to remember giving
her. He went and got it back, huh?
And I didn't know. I don't think it's a tricycle. He lit out to get the
chicken. Oh, my God.
So you know if there's ever any... I soon learned that you didn't report him missing or anything like that. Boy, if you did, you was in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in the first place, there wouldn't have been any soul in town that would have believed that he was missing.
That would have believed that he wasn't off on business, you know.
And that he was had ever encountered anything that he could have mastered, it would have been too much. So I learned better than that. But anyway, the raccoon wasn't. I had prowled up and down the railroads and done everything imaginable. No coon baby. But coon baby was right out in the back yard, not half a dozen jumps from his own cage. He was under a pile of lumber.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And when I walked by there encouraging the rabbit to hunt the coon, the rabbit just followed just right up to that stack of lumber. Stuck his nose down like that, and I hurried over there, and they was rubbing noses with the coon. Maybe not. They was neighbors in the house.
My gosh. That's cute. Can I help you, or do you need some medication in town? Do you need me to go get you something?
No, yesterday I got sick in town. I had still to get medication, so I went and got it. I had Mrs. Taylor with her.
Do you have it at home, or where do you have it there?
Yeah, at home. I take it most any time in the afternoon. But
you want me to drive you home? Julie can come back and pick me up. You're having a problem.
Get something to eat. That's what's
like to have some...
You want some bread and peanut butter or something like that? We've got some good whole grain bread there.
But you can have the meat.
Oh, meat?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go... Is there any kind I can get across the street at the store? Does lunch meat help or anything like that?
It does. It's like I can stand to eat it. Sometimes I can't bear to eat.
Hmm.
But I guess...
What about pastrami or beef like that? Would that help? Or chicken? They've got the chicken lunch meat over there, you know, the pressed chicken. Can you use that?
Maybe one of them might.
Why don't you go over and get me some chicken?
It's just... Or maybe the beef rather than the chicken.
Rather than the beef?
Yeah. And my purse is downstairs.
That's all right. Any special kind of beef that you wanted? Like
no, I think this is good.
What's that?
Pastrami,
yes.
Right.
Okay. Pastrami, you like pastrami?
If she got some, yeah.
Now I'm going to get some fresh across the street and here's some of it. Seven grain bread.
Well, this is the meat, it's protein, I guess, is what that is.
Yeah.
It just runs out and I'm just...
I'll let her run and get that because you shouldn't be running around with it.
That's a hell of a thing. What is that for him when I get that? But I just stayed on the street. And it so happened that this is...
It would be my recommendation to you that you're not going to stop her. I personally feel that it's anything that has a limitation to it. I don't see any limitation that can actually...
There's any limitation to it either.
Personally, I feel that he has all the power of the universe in every cell in his body, and he somehow found the means and the method of totally releasing it. No, he's downstairs.
You know, there's always a reason behind the use of it, you know.
Oh, I grant you that. And he is so careful in the use of it that he doesn't misuse so much as a tiny hair of it.
No, I don't think he does.
That is probably the... Well, it's got to be the reason why it is so infinite within him.
And I know that when I was... This year, test, I felt like that... damn test that I took was a killer, and that normally I would have died under that, but I felt it just threw out that that was going to kill me, that test.
Hmm.
And they kept saying there's only 1% risk, next thing was 2% risk, the next thing was 5% risk. And I said, let's just call it 95. I said to the doctor, my mind made up the test. It's 95% risk if they had 1 ounce of risk.
What test was that, Lynetta?
And the more I went on that table to see what, so they could try to isolate the block, you know. And the
where's, you mean in your, in your circulatory system, yeah.
And there wasn't
a damn thing. Somehow, I don't know, I think there's an energy field that flows around him that we are affected by, even by our thoughts. I've noticed myself that if my thoughts are not as they should be, that my vitality lags, that little things go wrong with my health and everything else, but when I manage to pull them up to where they belong, then there's no explaining the vitality that I feel, and I have the strength to get things done that I never would have been able to do. And I don't know what it is in his aura that permeates us the way it does, but there's something that it's like he's here even when he's in San Francisco or Los Angeles. It's like there's a portion of him that is here with us at all times, and I can't explain it. It's whether it's in his mind, whether he has such a connection to universal mind that he is everywhere present or what, I don't know what it is. But he has, he's come out and commented on things when he was nowhere in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have felt his presence at times when I was in deep trouble, just as clear as if he was sitting right in the same room with me. I mean, I'd suddenly be conscious of the fact that I wasn't alone, you know?
Well, yes. But for some reason, I don't feel the I can't describe anything that's made.